Before you get into this episode, I want to invite you to join me on May 1st for a free live workshop. It's called Feedback Fixer Upper, How to Reshape Poor Performance with Your Words. You can sign up at awesomeleader.com/monthly-workshop or go to awesomeleader.com and look for workshops. Again, this is May 1st. It's 9 in the morning Pacific, 12 Eastern. It's free. Join me, and I will now let you get to this episode of The Leadership Shot. Optimism fuels motivation, fosters resilience, and inspires innovation. On the other hand, realism encourages prudent decision-making and helps you and your team manage expectations. So, can you be enthusiastic or optimistic and realistic at the same time and still be yourself? Yes, you can. And I'll help you prepare to be optimistic when coaching your team. Now, I'm not going to tell you to fake it until you make it either. I'll be realistic about what you can say to cheer on your team and yet tell you how you can remain true to yourself, to your personality, and your conscience. I'm Lila Bullingtown. I'm an executive coach and the creator of Awesome Leader. I've coached founders, VPs, and C-suite executives worldwide for over 25 years. I make it easier for leaders to make decisions, guide their teams, have difficult conversations, have more fun in their roles. Yes, that's possible. I love what I do, and I love my clients. My number one passion is making it easier to lead and manage teams, no matter what your title is. In my online coaching and training programs, I create leadership ease through 15-minute lessons and weekly group coaching. In this podcast, you can experience some of that micro learning. This podcast is a weekly shot of tangible leadership advice. All episodes are just about 15 minutes. Let's get started. Hi, I'm Lila Bullingtown. Welcome to this episode of The Leadership Shot. Today, I'm talking about balancing optimism. How can you be optimistic, realistic at the same time? And let's start with the idea that it's a little bit like a dance move. It's a delicate dance when enthusiasm meets pragmatism. And overall, being authentic is what wins you the dance contest, going with this theme. In this episode, I'll explore the nuances of striking this balance. I'm also going to talk briefly about the benefits of optimism in the workplace, some cautionary tales of excessive optimism, and then I'll dive into some practical examples of what you can say and what you shouldn't say. I want to make this practical for you, as always, so when you listen to this, think about what you would do and what you would say. Now, optimism and realism are not mutually exclusive. I think they can coexist harmoniously, and that's one of the things that you need to do as a leader. And being authentic and having authentic optimism, that is so powerful. Yet, I know sometimes when you try to show enthusiasm, you're at risk of coming off like a smiling, glowing cheerleader. It can feel very rehearsed, very stiff, almost like those cheerleaders. And I'm not trying to diss cheerleading. It's a definite sport, but it's just so rehearsed and stiff. And that's what I don't want you to be when you're trying to be optimistic, be enthusiastic. Sometimes now, when you show excitement about a project to your team, they're way more likely to jump on board and give it their all and be happy about it. However, being optimistic isn't about, like I said, putting on that cheerful facade. It's about fostering a genuine belief in the possibilities and inspiring others to share that vision, your vision. And when you're authentic about being optimistic, it means you acknowledge the challenges that are there, yet you want people to remain resilient when things go wrong, when what you've planned for doesn't happen. So, how do you strike a balance between being optimistic with your team and also keeping in mind the realities of the business? First, let's talk about the power of optimism. This is some of what it does. It's a catalyst for innovation and growth. It fuels creativity, it fosters collaboration, it really helps people focus on problem solving, to be positive, to think that this is possible, we can do it. Optimism also boosts morale, and it can motivate people. A positive outlook from a leader can energize teams. Of course, remember, have your own filter. The filter is you're being optimistic, but you're being yourself authentic. Optimism also fosters resilience. Optimistic leaders, when you're optimistic, you instill a sense of hope and determination. You're trying to enable your team to say, hey, we can navigate this. We can figure it out. Adversity, we're going to get around it. We're confident. People see setbacks as a way to grow when they have somebody who is, again, being optimistic, leading them, showing them a vision. It also enhances creativity. It stimulates creative thinking and innovation. It encourages people to think about new ideas and take calculated risks. It also helps problem solving. Optimistic leaders approach challenges with a solution-oriented mindset. Like, okay, how can we figure this out? And that inspires your team to brainstorm. Then I want to share some quick thoughts about excessive optimism. And this may seem really obvious, yet I want you to think about this, okay? These are some of the pitfalls of excessive optimism. It can lead to complacency, okay? It can lead to overlooking some potential risks when you promise everything's going to be okay, or you always look on the bright side. You want to balance things. Sometimes when you're too optimistic, it leads you to ignore some red flags. Overly optimistic leaders, I've seen them dismiss some warning signs or dismiss critical feedback. And that means they sometimes end up making the wrong or bad decisions and they miss opportunities. When you're overly optimistic, you tend not to think about contingencies, like what to do if something goes wrong. You want to anticipate some potential setbacks and make sure that your team is ready to navigate some challenges. And sometimes you're also blind to risks. Very optimistic leaders, they overlook pitfalls, dismiss warning signs, and it also breeds complacency. When you're unrealistically optimistic, you send a message that can tend to lull your team into a false sense of security, and you want them to recognize when there are problems. And when you're complacent, then people find it harder to react and adapt, to try and remember to see around the corner. And then eroding trust from your team. When you're too optimistic, you tend to not acknowledge what is a reality. And eventually people feel alienated because they think you're not connected to reality. There's like a disconnect. And remember, if your team perceives you as unrealistic or disingenuous, they're going to question the next time you talk, the next time you cheer them on, the next email you send, okay, if you're too optimistic. Then I want to talk about something that's probably coming up to you, which is like you think, oh, some people are just optimistic, Lila, and some people aren't. We've all met some of these people in our lives. They are just glass half full all the time. The glass is always full. They just seem to see any challenge as an opportunity. They're unflappable. I love them in a way. I love them more than being irritated by them, yet I think some people are irritated by them. And then I know you've worked with and maybe manage now some folks who aren't just glass half empty. They're like, there was never any water in the glass. I didn't even get a glass. Pessimism seems to just ooze out of every pore of their body. Oh, sorry, that is just a crazy image, but I know you get what I mean. They answer most questions with no, that won't work, but if they win the lottery, they would talk about the low statistical probability of the event versus scream for joy. Now, some people do have a natural inclination toward optimism. It might be a personality trait, a character trait, a combination of both. It's up for debate. Yet research tells us that optimism stems from a variety of factors, and the same with pessimism. Genetics, upbringing, environment, personality traits, and cognitive style and processes are all factors that help us develop optimism or pessimism. Now, you can't go back in time and change the physical, emotional, or familial environment you were raised in. You can't change your personality at this time in your life, yet you can surely adapt and modify. And of course, you can't change your genetics. So instead, I want you to learn about being optimistic and pessimistic and consider your natural style. Consider your team and the environment you're in, that your filters are your team, who you are, the current work environment, economic environment, political, geopolitical, however you want to think about it, and balance it. Again, the idea is balancing. So I want to make this easy for you. I want you now to think about a current project at work. Choose one where you need to be optimistic or you need to show more enthusiasm for it. And you're hesitant, you're concerned about it. Name the project or situation, like be very clear about what it is. Then write down how you feel. Honestly, if you think this is a totally screwed up situation and there's no hope at all it's going to get done, write that down. Write down your doubts, write down your fears, write down what you're feeling, write down what you're worried about. Be honest with yourself because nobody's criticizing you right now. No one is judging you. You don't have to be optimistic with yourself. Now I want you to think about what your role is. What do you need to convey as a leader? What is important for your team to hear about this project or situation? What do they need to understand? Now, remember, you may not feel it's going to be successful. However, if you've agreed to take part in this and you see the value in it, then you need to convey it to your team. So what's important for them to hear and understand, and what feels right and authentic to you? So you're looking at how you feel and why you have some doubts, and you're also thinking about what you can say that will be authentic, that will make sense and won't give them an impression that you're faking it. You're also giving yourself time to process and prepare. That's the most important thing, really. You're thinking about what your raw thoughts are and then what you need to convey from your role, from your title. Again, be realistic, be truthful. If you have doubts, tackle them first alone before pushing yourself in a situation where you have to act a certain way, have to say certain things. And if you don't believe it, others will see it. Now I want to break down how to be optimistic in words. As you hear these phrases and ideas, I want you to think about what feels authentic to you. All right, so here are some examples of effective communication. I believe in this team's ability to overcome this challenge together. I want us to approach this obstacle with a positive mindset and a realistic understanding of the situation. While we'll have setbacks, I know we have the resilience to persevere, especially because last year made us face some similar challenges. We've done some of this before. It won't be easy, yet I know we can get there. Now, I want to pause and remind you, you're filtering this for yourself. I'm using a lot of personal first-person language, I. Here's an example, and I'll show you why I didn't phrase it in a certain way. Listen to this one. I believe in this team, and I know we can tackle this challenge. In this example, I didn't say we can tackle this challenge. I also didn't say we can tackle any challenge that comes our way. Then it gets very trite. Here's another one I want to explain to you a little more after I say it. I want us to focus on what we can control in this situation. Some things we need to work around, but a lot we can control and plan for. In this situation, I focused on the first person, I. I didn't say let's focus on what we can control. I'm making it personal, and hopefully then it's more authentic. I also avoided a phrase like find a way to make it happen. So again, I want us to focus on what we can control in this situation. Some things we need to work around, but a lot we can control and plan for. Here's another good example. I'm excited about this opportunity, and I'm confident that together we can achieve great things. Now that feels a little trite on the surface. You're going to back it up with specifics. Again, I'm excited. I'm confident that together we can achieve great things. Now, here's some things to avoid saying. These things make you sound fake, and I will also adapt them a little so that hopefully they'll sound a little fake for you. Now, I know some of these are going to sound really obvious, yet remember that if you try and pump yourself up or you go into a situation where you haven't thought about your fears and doubts and you just tell yourself, be positive, be authentic. Sometimes then if your natural inclination is to be pessimistic and you're trying to be the opposite, you can go a bit too far. So I don't want you to say things like this. Everything will work out perfectly. There's no need to worry. Failure is not an option. We're bound to succeed no matter what. I don't want to hear any negative feedback. Let's focus on the positives. I'm confident with our collective effort, we can achieve this amazing goal. While we're facing some obstacles, I believe in our team's ability to overcome them together. Some of these just feel trite. They feel nonspecific. And I want you to remember again, you want to edit and have a filter of what you would say. And it can be really easy, again, when you're confused or pressed for time, to say something that has just come up in your mind that doesn't feel authentic. Ignore the naysayers. We're invincible. Oh my gosh. Like, everything will work out perfectly without any hiccups. Things never work out perfectly. I would just say avoid the word perfect. And of course, you're never going to say something, or I don't want you to. Everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows from here on out. Okay, avoid sunshine, rainbows, puppies. And I know as much as you're thinking, come on, Lila, I'm not that clueless. It can be so easy to let language take over when you're doing something that feels unnatural to you. All right. So instead of some of these things, like it's going to be sunshine and rainbows from here on out, you could say something like this. I want you to remember that once we get through the planning for this project, we have the skills and time to execute. It won't be easy, yet it will be more fun. And we will have regular work days when this is over, not weekends and evenings. Right now, I want to be realistic. We are going to have to work harder than we have before. Yet again, once we get through the planning for this, we're going to be in a different stage, different phase. So you want to balance, and again, you want to balance the idea of like getting people excited, but also doing it in an authentic way. It's another way you could be realistic and optimistic. Here's another example. I want to emphasize that this is a high-risk situation. If we fail to meet this deadline, it will impact revenue for this quarter. I don't say this to scare you. I say this to be realistic. So when we have one-on-one and team meetings, I'm going to work with each of you to make sure you have the support you need so we hit the deadline. I'm confident, and yet I know it's not going to be easy. I'm with you to get this done. So again, I want you to be enthusiastic, optimistic, but keep one foot firmly planted in reality. And to do this, go back to what I asked you to think about earlier in this episode. Think about your feelings, think about your roles, and then plan what you're going to say. Now, if you are feeling a little pessimistic and not convinced that optimism can help you and your team, I'll remind you that research from Gallup has shown that optimistic leaders are way more likely to have engaged employees. Engaged employees are more productive, they're happier, they're healthier. High performers don't leave voluntarily as often, and they also create organizations with greater shareholder value. I want you to be yourself, but at the same time, you need to cheer your team on. So, be optimistic, be realistic, be yourself. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Let me know what questions you have, and I'll talk to you next time. Before you go, please hit subscribe or click to follow this podcast. This tells me that the content I'm sharing is helping you, your team, and your company. You'll also learn when the next episode drops. And if you'd like weekly emails from me with more tips on how to move your leadership towards awesome, visit awesomeleader.com/podcast. You'll receive notifications of free webinars and free resources. Also, if you want to learn how to bring the first and only online leadership program with lessons under 15 minutes to your teams, visit awesomeleader.com. You'll learn all about my online coaching and training programs. Thanks for listening to the Leadership Shot.